The title to the message today is, Who Do You Say I Am? So last week we talked about, we were in Genesis 1:26, where God said, you, that would be you and me, are made in his, or he would say my image, you are made in my image. You're a carbon copy. You're going to be just like me. And he made us to reflect or reproduce or imitate or replicate his own nature. And that means to do things just like he would do them on this earth. And then in verse 28, it says, and God blessed them and said, so this is, he's speaking this to you. When God releases a word, it doesn't die out. It doesn't become watered down. Amen. We can water it down. Yeah. The world can try to water it down. The world can try to stop it. But it doesn't stop. And it doesn't lose its power.
That's right.
When he said, let there be light, Pastor taught us, that word is still out there in the universes,
right,
apprehending darkness, taking over darkness.
Right.
Wherever darkness is in your life, in your family, in your business, in your finances, let there be light is still working on your behalf.
Yeah.
So you look at your checkbook and you say, I'm not going to make it till the end of the month. You say, let there be light. Let there be light. So in verse 28, he said, he blessed them, he blessed us, and he said this, prosper, reproduce, fill the earth, take charge, be responsible for fish in the sea and birds in the air, for every living thing that moves on the face of the earth.
Amen.
And that blessing, too, is still active today,
yes,
as it was when he spoke it. Then in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, God said, you're blessed. God said, you're created in my image. God said, go out and replicate. God said, do things the way I do them. Apprehend darkness the way I do with your words. And then the devil comes along in verse 3. Here comes the liar who says, did God really say? He really say if you ate the fruit, you'd die? And then the devil says to them, basically my paraphrase, let me tell you what's really happening. And this is how the devil works. You won't die. In fact, you'll become just like God. You'll know everything. Listen to me. Listen to me. God's holding out on you. He knows that the moment you eat from that tree, you'll see what's really going on. You'll be just like God. You'll know everything. And in verse 6, she listened. Instead of running as fast as she could the first moment she heard the voice, and we don't exactly know when she first heard his voice, she listened. She ate, then Adam ate, and instead of running to God and taking responsibility for their own sin and repenting,
yep,
they grabbed some fig leaves and tried to fix it themselves.
Yeah.
They tried to hide their sin from God. It's still happening today. Fig leaves are just other things. And if any of these fit your life, I am not pointing fingers at anyone in this room. This is just part of the message. A fig leaf can be prescription drugs. A fig leaf can be a certain type of food or diet. A fig leaf can be a loan from a bank. A fig leaf can be, what are people using today? It can be alcohol. Fig leaf can be enough. It can be alcohol. A fig leaf could be, what's that?
Lying.
Fig leaf could be fashion clothing. Fig leaf could be, I only shop at Goodwill. Nothing against that. I used to shop at Goodwill. Praise God. Now I don't have to. I can let others take advantage of that opportunity. But instead of running to God and saying, Lord, I could use a new top or I could use new pants, I ran to Goodwill. Now, that's not necessarily a sin, but it is a type of fig leaf. If I would have gone to the Lord, because I am a tither and a giver and have always been from the moment that I became born again, he could have provided for me another whole way. And it would have been better, a better price, maybe even free. Are you getting it? What fig leaves can be?
Yes.
Fig leaves can be, I'll work overtime. Fig leaves can be, I'll get a third job. Fig leaves can be anything that you don't run to God with and you try to fix it yourself. And please remember, when I'm speaking, I'm also speaking to myself, okay? So they tried to hide their sin by hiding from God. We just have to, this is the season, this is the Pentecost season, to start looking at what are you hiding from God? And it's time to be honest about it. Because a lot of times we'll say, well, I brought everything to the Lord. Okay. You might be better served by saying, Lord, have I brought everything to you?
Yeah.
Have I really opened up my entire self? And then we start saying, if not, why? What are we afraid of? Because I've been there and I'm working on it now. So I'm just talking to you now from experience. Every morning I say, Lord, is there something new for me to bring to the altar? Because I truly, truly, when I say to you, I want to be one of those people, and there will be many, but I want to be among those who are able to say, the enemy can't find anything in me.
Amen.
Therefore, he can't steal from me. He can't take my life. He can't take my family. He can't take whatever. But that's a work. I've done this. La, 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 la. Lord, I don't really want to hear that. I've had him, I told you, I had him say to me, why will you not let me talk to you about this? Because I don't want to hear what you have to say. And his response was, why not? Because I'm afraid of what you're going to ask me to do. And then you ask the why again, why am I afraid? And you get another answer, but it's layer by layer by layer.
Yeah.
So then in Galatians 4:4, it says, so now we're fast forwarding to the New Testament. So we had God say, you're blessed, you're created in my image, and you had the liar come and say, you are not. But if you do this, if you listen to me, and I'll even provide you some fig leaves. So fast forward to Galatians 4:4. It says, then when the time arrived that God the Father had set in place, now this is a side note, All time is set by God.
Amen.
So unless we allow the devil to mess it up, which the world has done by not serving God and allowing demonic things in, then the devil will mess it up. Our birth is set by God. And here's a side note. So we're on a second side note. You see a lot, you see the world really pushing for induced labor. Every baby is set to be born at a certain time. Now we have the world, and I'll tell you, every single woman that I've known of in the last 5 years that has been pregnant has been at least offered to have their labor induced, meaning let's force the baby to come when we want it to come. We even have people saying, I want it to be born on a certain day. So yeah, induce me. Your conception moment was chosen by God. It's part of the plan. Your birth date and time is part of the plan. Your name, if your parents are listening, is part of the plan. But the devil comes along, and our death is set. Our death is part of God's plan. Our celebrations in life should be set by God. That's where we see when we're going to get into the calendar and how the calendar's changed. When we go back to God's calendar, we can see the progression of him bringing us to the second coming of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
But then we had man get in the way. Oh, instead of 360 days for a year, let's make it 365.
Yeah.
And instead of those Jewish celebrations, let's have Christmas. Let's have Easter. When we start looking back into these, some people aren't going to be happy to find out the truth. But if we're going to walk in the fullness of Jesus the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One and his anointing, remove every burden, destroy every yoke, take down every Asherah pole and tear down every demonic altar, we have got to get back to the truth. Now, will you ever stop celebrating Christmas and Easter? Maybe not. That's your choice. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
So not knowing the word, the power of the blood, and the power of the name of Jesus can mess up our lives.
I see.
and God's plans.
Yes.
God sent his son so that he, Jesus, might redeem or purchase us back, those who had been kidnapped by the law. Because of this, we have been set free. Say, I'm free.
I'm free.
Set free to experience our rightful heritage or inheritance. Say, I have an inheritance.
I have an inheritance.
Verse 6. Proof of what that we are adopted and accepted as his own children
yes.
is that God sent Holy Spirit. That's your proof. Your proof that God did all of this and lined it up for your good is that Holy Spirit is here with us now and is not leaving until Jesus comes back.
Amen.
And only the Father knows when that's going to happen.
That's right.
Because all time is designated by the Father.
Yes.
Verse 7. And if you are a child, you are also an heir. Say, I'm an heir.
I'm an heir.
With complete and absolute access to the inheritance. Earlier, before you knew God personally, you were enslaved. Here's the good news. If you know God personally,
yes.
you are no longer enslaved
Amen.
Unless you are allowing it.
Right.
And you're allowing it only if you don't know the word. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so we had God saying you're blessed, created in my image, carbon copy, do things the way I do them. Devil comes along, I'll tell you what to do, and I'll give you fig leaves so you can hide it from God. Then we fast forward to Galatians, where Paul's writing a letter to them saying it was at God's perfect time that he undid what the devil did. And now you're back to having full access to everything that was for you in the garden. Now there's no reason not to have it. Absolutely no reason not to have it through Jesus the Christ. You don't have to look elsewhere. You don't have to serve another God. You don't have to sacrifice children. You don't have to do whatever. It's the blood of Jesus. It's the name of Jesus. Amen?
Yes.
Generations before this, before Paul wrote the letter to the Galatians, the prophet Isaiah, there's a book of Isaiah in the Old Testament. It's really worth reading. Prophet Isaiah prophesied in Isaiah 54, chapter 14. He said this. You, because he was speaking, a prophecy is speaking out what will be coming, foreseeing, foretelling. You, the people of His Living Word Church, Teaching, and Healing Institute, you will be built solid, grounded, and established in righteousness. Righteousness is being right, morally, and even logically. When you see things like what's in the world now that are illogical, that ain't God. God may do things you don't expect, do things a way you don't expect him to do, like earth and water to redeem Wisconsin, and then a prayer initiative that ends in Belmont, the first capital, at the end of Passover. That's not a plan I would have come up with. But God knows what he's doing. So morally and in the logical sense, you will be making a choice to do what's right. And he says, so you'll be grounded and established in righteousness, far from trouble. This is what he's saying to you, far from trouble, nothing to fear, far from terror. It won't even come close.
Amen.
Amen. 15, if anyone attacks you, don't for a moment suppose that I sent them. And if any should attack, this is what God says, I say nothing will come of it.
Amen.
Verse 16, yes, I created the blacksmith who fires up the forge and makes weapons that will kill. I also created the destroyer, verse 17, but I say no weapon that can hurt you has ever been forged or formed. So there are weapons out there. We see them all over. But if we are standing in the anointing, in the power, in the call, in the position of Almighty God, no weapon that is out there can hurt you or me
Amen.
If we will not allow it.
Amen.
And there's no condemnation from what we've been through. The enemy really tried to grab hold of me. How can you lead a church? You let your husband die.
No.
How can, they'll never accept you. It'll never work. Everyone's always going to remember that you should have prayed for him and you should have lived.
That's a lie
from the pit of hell. But I had to take it to the altar. Because when you're in the middle of the night, that voice can get pretty loud. So I put the word to work just like Pastor instructed you to, and I am instructing you to. And all I can do is present the word to you, and you have to ask Holy Spirit to reveal it to you. So when I say to you the word which says, I created the blacksmith who fires the forge and makes the weapons. I also created the destroyer. But then he says, but,
yes.
No weapon that's ever been formed by that blacksmith or by that destroyer can hurt you.
Amen.
Say, that's me.
That's me.
And then he goes on to say, and I say, any accuser who takes you to court will be dismissed as a liar. And then he says, and I say, this is what the what my servants can expect. This is what we should be expecting. We should be expecting no weapon formed against us to prosper. We should be expecting that all the blessings of God overflow and overtake us. We should be expecting that when we bring the tithe in honor, that the window, we know, expecting that that window, the windows of heaven have been thrown open and a blessing has been poured out.
Yes.
So abundant. There's not room enough for it and there's no room for lack. That's what we should be expecting. That's what God said. So either we are going to believe one side or the other. If we're in the middle, we're confused and we're going to stumble. Because we're going to be listening on one ear here and one ear here. One voice, you know how they show those little angel here, devil here? That's what's happening. Because we are not telling the devil to shut up enough.
Amen.
If you give him any airtime, you need to repent. I need to repent. If you give him any airtime, that's what Eve did. Eve should have run. She should have run. She should have run back to Adam, and if Adam didn't take care of it, she should have run directly to God because she had a relationship with him. Amen? And then he ends by saying in this particular chapter, I say, this is what God's servants can expect. And then he says this, I will see to it that everything works out for the best for you. This is what the Lord decrees. And we talked last week about a declaration versus a decree. A declaration is just making something known. Remember how God said he made known, he declared that now there was going to be war between the woman and the serpent forever until Jesus comes back. That was a declaration. He was simply letting them know because of their choice, this was what was going to result. We've all had it happen. It's called consequences. We choose a sin, we choose a fig leaf over taking it to God, and there's consequences. It's a reality of it. But he says, I decree this, and a decree is a legal statement. I am saying that in the courts of heaven, my decree is that I will see to it that everything works out for your best. So let's step back. Let's go back. 15. If anyone attacks you, don't for a moment suppose that I sent them. And if any should attack, I say nothing will come of it.
Amen.
Now you have to ask yourselves, okay, he said that. What are you saying? What are you saying? Are you agreeing with that? Are you repeating that? Because if you're repeating that, what God said, you're adding your power, your agreement, your faith to it. If you're saying anything other, then you're listening to another voice. You with me?
Yes.
Yes. And then he says in 16, let's jump down to 17. I say no weapon that can hurt you has ever been forged or formed? So then you have to ask yourself, what do you say?
Amen.
If there's a weapon formed against you, if it's legal, if it's physical, if it's health, if it's financial, if it's familial, whatever it is, if there's a weapon, he said, no weapon that can hurt you has ever been forged or formed.
Amen.
Is that what you're repeating? Because if not, you're listening to another voice. And then he said, this is what God's servants can expect. I will see to it that everything works out for the best for you.
Amen.
Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Because if not, you're listening and agreeing with another voice. And when we do that, then we wonder why things aren't working out. Why aren't they lining up? It doesn't feel good, and sometimes it's very difficult. And I'll tell you, I have spoken the word through bitter tears. I have been sobbing, but I refuse to disagree with the word. I have looked at my checkbook and thought in my head, it might look a little different going forward. God has blessed me because I continue to tithe and give an offering on a regular basis. But I would have had the opportunity to speak something other than the windows of heaven have been thrown open and a blessing poured out to me so abundant there's not room enough for it all. And therefore, there's no room for lack in my life, whether I'm single income, whether I have this to pay, that to pay, what bill comes in. No. I agree with the word. I will never say, I don't have the money for that. Because that's another voice. That's another voice. And if I agree with that other voice, when I come before the Father and say, Lord, look what's happening, he'll say, lovingly, he'll say, in patience and in his mercy, think about what you're saying. Think about what you were saying. Because the moment you breathe life into something else, you're agreeing with it. When we repeat that the gas prices are so high, when we repeat all the political things that are going on out there, when we repeat them, we actually, the breath of God resides in us. The breath of God, that's why Pastor, the Lord had all those years ago, and Pastor was like, this is a little strange. I really don't really want to do with this. But the Lord's saying, breathe on them. Breathe on them. And then years later, he heard of other ministries that were doing it, and the man explained why. Because the life and the breath of God is in you, and when you release it, it goes into people if they'll receive it. Same thing with your words. If you say anything other than breathing life into these words, you are agreeing with death, you're agreeing with lack, you're agreeing with gas prices that are too high, and you enforce that negative thing. And the moment we realize that, there's no condemnation, because that's called revelation.
Amen.
And that's when you run to God and you say, Lord, I've been part of the problem and I'm really sorry. And you take it to the altar and you say, every word that I have spoken, I cut off in Jesus' name.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Every word that I have spoken that's crosswise to that,
mm-hmm, yes.
I cut off.
Yeah.
I cut off in Jesus' name. I say to you, you will bear no fruit.
Yeah.
You will bear no fruit, because if you don't cut off those words, just like let there be light, they keep going out there. And then you wonder why this deal doesn't go through, and this deal doesn't go through, and this deal doesn't go through, and that person doesn't come through for you. Because you breathed life into that negative demonic thing.
Amen.
No condemnation. It's just time to change. It's time to change.
Amen.
So we were just told that in righteousness we would be established and we would be grounded. So let's look at righteousness. Pastor taught a lot on righteousness, and he said it's right standing with God, but it's even more that, because right standing is like standing next to someone. And he said we are literally entwined with God, if we choose to be. It's all up to us what we choose and where our hearts are at. There's the righteousness of God, and there's the fruit of righteousness. The righteousness of God, that's who we are, we are entwined with God. 2 Corinthians 5, 20 and 21 says this. Now then, we are ambassadors for Jesus the Christ, as though God were pleading through us. And that's what we're here for. We are here to plead on behalf of the kingdom of God. You know, an ambassador doesn't, the country that the ambassador is sent to, they don't abide by those laws. They could break the law, and the law cannot come against the ambassador sent to a certain country. Now, do we think that's right or wrong? I have my opinion, what it's worth. But we are ambassadors to this world. We are kingdom citizens, ambassadors here. So the truth is, the laws of this world should not apply to us if we're walking in righteousness. Doesn't mean go out and rob a bank. Now then, we are ambassadors for Jesus the Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore or beg you, we beg you on Jesus Christ's behalf, be reconciled or reunited with God. Verse 21. For he made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, he never did sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Amen. That was the New King James. I like the way the Living Bible says it. It says, for God took the sinless Jesus the Christ and poured into him our sins. Ouch. That's a big ouch. Poured into him our sins, and then in exchange, he poured God's goodness into us.
Amen.
He exchanged it. When you go to the store to exchange something, you can either get another like item. Okay, the shirt didn't fit me. I have my receipt. I'm taking it in. I'm just going to get another one just like it. Or I can get money back, or I can get something different, right? But what Jesus did is he gave us something way different. Way different. When we bring ourselves to him, we were born into sin. But God the Father took all that sin, poured it into Jesus, who never once sinned, and then poured his goodness into us.
Amen.
We have such an exciting life. We just have to realize it and then choose to walk in it. Amen. Righteousness is equal in character or action. It's being innocent and holy. And it actually comes from the word right, but it's this. It's the decision. It's a decision to do right.
Yes.
And then it's the execution of doing right.
Amen.
So that's why we need to know the word of God.
Amen.
Because how will I know what I'm supposed to do to be like God and to do things the way he does them if I never read the book? If I never read the letter he left for me? How do I decide to do what's really right? The world can tell me what they think's right. God says, I've got a better way. I've got a better way. I knew when you were conceived, that spark of life in your mother's womb. I knew when you were going to be born. I know when you're going to die. I know the celebrations you're supposed to have in your life and when they're supposed to be. I knew your name. If your parents were listening, I named you. And we're going to move into this one. I love this. I was like, oh, Lord, you're so good. Like the song says, I'm not my own. I was bought with a price, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And along with the blood, now this isn't in the song, but this is what the Lord said. Along with the blood came the name of Jesus. And the root word of the name Jesus, just like all of our names have a root word, they come from somewhere, is the self-existent or eternal Jehovah. It means Jehovah saves. But the prime root, when you go down into the roots of that, the prime root to make up the name of Jesus are to wish for, to desire, and to open wide, to free, to be safe, and to cause to be free and safe. Yeah. The examples in the Bible are God changed Abram's name to Abraham, And Sarai's name is Sarah because he needed where their life was headed, he needed to change. He needed it to change. And every time they would speak the name Abraham, it was the father of many nations. And he became the father of faith and the father of many nations. So Jesus, the root of that word, actually means to desire to be free and to cause to be safe and free. When we are saying the name of Jesus, not only are we speaking the power of the name of Jesus, but it literally means, Lord, cause them to be free. Amen. Cause them to be safe and free.
Amen.
Yeah, open things up. It even means to open wide. We speak the name of Jesus, we open it wide. Amen. And in Philippians 1:11, it says, may you abound in and be filled with or overflowing with the fruits of righteousness. The fruits of righteousness. Of right standing with God and doing what is right. Which come through Jesus Christ, the Savior, the Anointed One. To the honor and praise of God the Father. Fruit is something you can pluck and then take away and be nourished by it. So the fruit of your life, Pastor used to have, I wish I'd gotten a picture of this. He used to teach on the grapes. He said, if you were going to be a grape, you wouldn't be going, I'm going to be a grape. No, a grape just becomes. The ground is nourished. The seed is planted. The seed does whatever seeds do, becomes the vine, gets watered, is nourished, and as he used to say, grapes become. So whatever is being budded from the fruit of your life, that's what people are going to be able to pluck from you and be nourished. It's either going to be good or it's not going to be good. It also means everything that is done. Now that was the secular, the something you can pluck and take away was just like in the dictionary. But when you break it down into the fruit of righteousness means everything that's done in a true partnership with Jesus. A believer lives, moves, and has their being in Jesus the Christ.
Amen.
And then it said this. This was in the breaking down of the biblical part of it. It says this. Fruit is a result of two life streams. The Lord living his life through us to yield what is eternal. In other words, the life you receive or have and the life you give. So right now, the fruit of righteousness that's flowing through you is not only the life you have, it's for you, but it's the life you give. That's the fruit of righteousness. So when you make those right choices, and when you do the right thing, and you just do it because it's right, and you do it right, not only are you living in that and receiving life from that, but that's what you are giving to other people. When you walk in the room, what do they think? Is it ungodliness, godliness? Is it joy? Is it fear? What is it? Because whatever's on the inside of you, not only are you living in it, it's your source of life, but you're giving it out as well. I just want to just jump back to the name. You know, Matthew 1:21 says, the angel told Joseph, Mary shall have a son, and you are to name him Jesus. Well, we just talked about what Jesus means. For it is he that shall save his people from their sins. And it made me think about Adam. You know, the Lord had Adam name all the animals. That's never been done away with. And part of the proof is right here. In the New Testament, so we're out of the Old Testament, we're in the New Testament, we're now talking about Jesus. The Lord, the angel of the Lord says to him, you'll name him Jesus because that's what he's going to become. He's going to take on the character of the Savior. He is the Savior, but it's still his choice. We all know any time he could have turned away. He could have said, I am not doing this thing. He could have said in heaven, I'm not going. But by the time he got here, Joseph had been instructed, name him this. Name him Jesus, which means he is the Savior. He's come to save people from their sins. We have to be really watchful what we name things. What we name our children. We have to be very, very watchful. What we're naming people, what we're speaking, what we're naming things. And then go back to that name and use it as a prophetic word. I am Zoe. The life inside of me is a God kind of life, and I won't put up with the devil.
Amen.
I am Michelle. I'm one who is supposed to be like God, and that's where I'm headed.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And you all have names. And it's worth finding out what they mean and then speaking out. Amen. Hallelujah. Father God, we thank you. Lord, I ask you in Jesus' name, the one who saves, the one who makes us safe and makes us free, the one who opens up wide the things we need. Lord, I am asking you that this word would penetrate our hearts. Holy Spirit, I could only present it. Now I ask you, please reveal it to each individual as it needs to be revealed to them so that they can take it and walk out their destiny. In Jesus' name. And everyone said?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.